This is God's Word found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, the 24th verse. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Year after year, I've struggled with getting my arms around the concept of denying myself. I don't know if you've had that problem. You might clear it up for me in just an instance, but I've had problems with what could that mean. Many people interpret it, I think, as denying themselves comforts or pleasures, and I don't find that to be the teaching of the Bible. As a matter of fact, if I turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, there the Holy Spirit inspires the Apostle Paul to write directly against that teaching. Colossians 2, reading there in starting with verse 18, says, Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered, and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Now, certainly there's some things we're not supposed to touch and taste. We don't need to taste poison. We don't need to touch someone else's spouse. There's certain things within God's commandments we understand. But just the idea that if we deny ourselves the comfort of a hot meal or the touch of a healing hand, the idea that that somehow or other is pleasing to God and that we gain spiritual points with Him does not seem to me to be the teaching of the Bible or the meaning of the Lord when He says these words, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And the thought came to me while I was sitting in meeting Friday before last, listening to the preaching, to compare this with how Simon Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ the night that he was arrested. And you remember that occasion. The Lord Jesus Christ had been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and taken to the house of Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest. And they were trying him, and John was able to gain access to the property there of the high priest because he knew one of the servants of the house. And he and Simon Peter went on in there. And as they were standing around and the unjust trial was proceeding, someone questioned Simon Peter and said, Art thou not a follower of Jesus Christ? And he denied it and said, I'm not. And they said, Well, Are thou not one of them, one of the disciples? He said, I am not. And then they said, Well, I know you're one of the disciples of Jesus Christ because you're a Galilean and your speech gives you away. And he began to curse and swear, and he denied the Lord and said, I know not the man. And then the Lord turned and looked on Simon Peter. The rooster had crowed. The Lord looked on Simon Peter, and Simon Peter went out and wept bitterly. I expect for all of the apostles, those days in which the Lord was on the cross and in the grave were a very hard time. But perhaps it was harder on no one than Simon Peter, who had denied the Lord three times before his trial, before Pontius Pilate, and his crucifixion and burial. Was no doubt a very difficult time. What did he do to deny the Lord? The word deny there in the Greek carries with it the meaning of reject or to separate yourself from or to deny. What did he do actually that constituted denying the Lord? He lied about the relationship that existed between him and Jesus Christ. He lied about the fact that Jesus was his Lord, his teacher, his Savior, the Messiah. He was one of the Lord's disciples, one of the Lord's little children. And the relationship between them was teacher to student, redeemer to redeemed, and if Peter had only known it at that time, creator to creation. There was quite an intimate relationship between them. And Peter lied about that relationship. So he lied in that way about himself, who he was, since he was indeed a disciple of Jesus Christ. He lied about Jesus Christ, who was indeed his teacher and his Messiah. He lied about who he was. He lied about who the Lord was. And he lied about the relationship between them. And in so doing, he denied the Lord. How do we deny ourselves? We tell the truth about our relationship with the Lord. Well, how is that denying ourselves? Well, think about what is the truth in the relationship between ourselves and the Lord. First, let's look at the Lord. He is one who is holy, just, righteous. In the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk writes, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold iniquity." That is, God is so holy and righteous and just that he doesn't even look upon iniquity, look upon sin. He is the creator. He is the lawgiver. He's the light giver. He's the life giver. He's all of these things, and he's pure and holy and just. Does that apply to God the Father? Yes. Does it apply to God the Spirit? Yes. Do all those characteristics apply to God the Son? Yes. God is one God, three in one, and he's holy, just, pure, righteous, good. What about me? I am shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I am estranged from the womb, going forth speaking lies. I, from my youth up, my imagination is evil. I, by my conception as a human being, don't understand God, don't seek God. My feet are swift to shed blood. The poison of venomous snakes is under my tongue. I'm not righteous. I'm not good. That is the truth about me. And let me tell you the teaching of the Bible. That's the truth about every human being except for the one born of Mary, laid in a manger in Bethlehem. What's the relationship between this holy God and a sinner like me? The relationship that I believe that's been put in place is one of love, salvation, and the gift of everlasting life that I didn't even have the righteousness, wisdom, or goodness to accept. I didn't accept it, but by grace received it. What does that mean? It means God gave it to me without my permission. It didn't mean he came and offered it and was hoping I would take it. and I graciously accepted the gift. That's not what it meant. It meant He, by His sovereign purpose, gave me the righteousness of His only begotten Son. That's my hope. That's the gospel I believe. And brothers and sisters, I think that's your hope too. In fact, that's the hope of any born-again child of God. And to deny myself means to be honest about myself, about God, and the relationship between us. It means what we just sung, not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, many people sing that song, many good people that are going to heaven sing that song, but they don't maybe believe it. It's kind of like nothing but the blood of Jesus plus my acceptance of it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus plus my baptism. Nothing but the blood of Jesus plus my good works or membership in a religious organization. Nothing but the blood of Jesus plus something I will do or think or say or choose. Brothers and sisters, the song is accurate. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, when you're honest about that, you deny yourself. Why? Because you just said, I have no role in my reception of everlasting life. I had no part. I didn't participate in me receiving eternal life. I had nothing to do with it except I was passive and benefited from God's grace. The relationship is He is holy, just, righteous, gracious, merciful. The relationship is I am dead in trespasses and sins. I am unable to reach out and receive a gift. I am one who didn't understand God, didn't seek God. I am not righteous, and of the human race there is none righteous, no, not one. And the relationship between us is totally one of redeemer to redeemed, and nothing but the blood of Jesus accomplished that redemption. Is that not denying myself? I think that denying myself has some other implications too. If He is the one who did it all, as far as us receiving everlasting life, as for that matter, receiving natural life too, if He's totally the one that did it, He gets to define right and wrong and good and evil. That's not up to me. I may have some opinions about right and wrong, good and evil, but when it comes to choosing a course, or even telling somebody else the truth, I can tell them my opinion. But if I'm really going to tell them right and wrong, it has to come from Him. And He has declared and revealed right and wrong, good and evil for human beings in this book. That means this book is the sole definer of right and wrong, not only in the human race, but the entire universe. And for us to come up with right and wrong and good and evil of our own is to not deny ourselves. It's to assert ourselves. The exact opposite of a disciple. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you don't assert yourself. You don't assert your own notions of right and wrong. You deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him. Now, what does it mean to take up the cross? We don't have structures of wood out there that we hoist and go about. Do you know that this statement here is in Matthew and Mark and Luke, three of the Gospels. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In the book of Luke, we get a little bit more on there. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Does that give you a little more insight? Something you take up daily. What is that cross? Let me tell you what I think it is. When a child of God is born again of God's Holy Spirit, then God comes to dwell within him. Galatians 4:6 says, "And because ye are sons, he hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." This is what happens in the new birth. You don't accept it. He's not there knocking at the door of your heart. There is a place where Christ stands at the door and knocks. Do you know what it was? It was the church at Laodicea. And I think the Lord may do some of that for other churches today. He stands at the door and knocks. He's not knocking, wanting entrance so he can come in and give everlasting life. That's not what it says in Revelation chapter 3. It says he stands at the door and knocks. "If any man open unto me, I will come in unto him and will sup with him." The Lord doesn't knock at the door asking to bring life. The Lord knocks at the door bringing supper. If you want food for your soul, you better let him in. If Union Church wants the members here fed and to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, we need to be willing to open the door to him. We need to be willing to pray that he'd be present, to bow to his will when he is present. So there, the Lord comes into your heart because you are sons. That means there was a sense in which you were God's children before you were ever born again. In what sense was that? If you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, you were his children by his choice. If you were chosen by him, by God in Christ before the foundation of the world, that means you were in Christ when he went to the cross. And his sufferings were for your sins, and you were in him legally, in God's holy law. You were in Christ when God was judging your sins upon his own Son, Jesus Christ. You were represented in him, and he suffered in your behalf, and so you were sons there by payment. So you were sons by his choice before the foundation of the world. You were sons by his purchase there at Calvary on the cross. Now, the scripture says, because ye are sons, he hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now you're going to be his sons by indwelling. That is, the Spirit of God comes in to a child of God, crying, Abba, which means Daddy. There's something that happens fundamentally when a child of God is born again. You may not remember it. Might have happened to you while you were in your mother's womb. Might have happened while you were still a baby. Maybe it happened while you were asleep. Some of you may well remember that all of a sudden things just changed and you didn't know what was going on. But something changed. The Spirit of God was in your heart. Something about you was crying out for God. Something in you was crying, Daddy. Something in you, though you didn't know specifically what you might need, you knew you needed someone. You needed an eternal, everlasting Daddy. And you got one. You have one. In God himself, one who loves you better than any earthly father could imagine. So, inside of you now is the Spirit of the living God. And he makes within you a new creature, called the new man in the scripture, called the inner man. You know what makes that so wonderful? Is you'll live forever. You know what makes that so difficult? The old person is still there. Now there's a new man and an old man living in, trying to use the same body. Is that hard? Yes, it is hard. You want to listen to how hard it was for the Apostle Paul? He knew what the struggle was, and this is what I think it means to take up your cross daily and follow the Lord. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 when he's talking about the law of God and his efforts to keep God's law. Starting in Romans chapter 7, verse 12. "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Can you see the cross in that? There the Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, the man who preached the gospel, who followed the Lord, who did miracles, who founded churches throughout the Mediterranean world, he was writing about the difficulty he had with an inward man that loved God, struggling with the law of sin dwelling in his flesh, that is the old man, and the fight that was going on there, the struggle, the battle. Now, the enemy will come to a child of God that's fighting that battle and saying, you think you're going to follow Jesus Christ? You know what's inside of you. You know the battle that you have and how often you lose it. You know how far short you fall. You might as well forget about following Him. The Lord Jesus Christ said, that battle is to be fought. Take up your cross daily and follow me. You know, He gives you strength to win that battle one day at a time. I find that true with folks that suffer from addiction. Rarely can somebody that follows the Lord and has an addiction to drugs or alcohol or a number of things, rarely do I find they can just pray, Lord, heal me from this addiction. And then all of a sudden, the desire for whatever it is departs. I don't know if I've ever encountered somebody, but I do find this. That person gets up and say, Lord, give me strength for this day to stay away from that which I'm addicted to. And they do it. And they get up the next day, and He gives them strength again that day. And they get up the next day, Lord, give us day by day our daily bread. Deliver me from this addiction today. And they do it. And they do that one day at a time for the rest of their lives until death sets them free and they go home to be with the Lord. And they have triumphed over their addiction. They have overcome their affliction. They have taken up their cross daily and followed Jesus Christ. They've denied themselves. What do you mean? They denied themselves the drug? No. They denied their own concept of right and wrong and their own ability and willpower and strength to do it. They knew they needed God to give them the ability to do it, and He did. And He did. They denied themselves. They took up their cross and they followed Jesus Christ. Now, before I sit down, there's a teaching in Matthew chapter 10 where the Lord teaches His disciples. He says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. And I think the common interpretation of that is if you confess Christ and die in that state, or you deny Christ and die in that state, then when you get up there and the judgment's going on And then the father will look at the son and say, how about this one? And the son will say, sorry, he denied me. And that's the way he died. I don't know him. Brothers and sisters, God's not like that. God's not like that. If God ever loved someone, he always loved someone. Okay, well, if that's not what it means, what does it mean? You and I are blessed in the scriptures to actually have an example of what it means. There's somebody that was willing early on to confess Jesus Christ before men, and then later on denied Jesus Christ before men. Who is it? Simon Peter. And you know where two of those occasions are? Right there in Matthew 16, just before our text. Let's look at Simon Peter. We've already talked about him denying the Lord three times when the Lord was arrested. But here's another occasion where Simon Peter denies the Lord. And I want you to see the fulfillment of that teaching, because what the Lord denies or confesses before the Father has nothing to do with receiving eternal life or a blessing on Judgment Day. What it has to do is confessing or denying the fellowship that that disciple has with Jesus Christ that day and in the life that he lives here on earth. Let's look at the example. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16, and then let's start here with a familiar scripture. Let's start with verse 13, and I'm going to read all the way back to our text, verse 24. But first I want to read the confession from 13 to 20. So go with me, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, other Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now there's a lot in there. And just briefly I would say, Jesus Christ did not build his church on Simon Peter. He said, thou art Simon Peter, and the name there, Peter or Petros, is Greek for a little stone. But then he said he was going to build this church on the Petra, the great rock. And the great rock was the very revelation that he is Jesus the Christ. The great rock is himself and the revelation of who he is. That's what the church is built on. Not built on anything as shaky as a single human being, no matter how good and how much that human got accomplished, except for the human being that's the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, you can build a solid foundation on that because he is the everlasting rock. So that's what that means. And then the keys to the kingdom of heaven, if you look at Luke chapter 11, verse 51, the Lord's upbraiding the scribes and Pharisees and lawyers, and he says, woe unto you lawyers! For you have taken away the keys of knowledge. You have not entered in, and those that were entering in, you hindered. What did the Lord give to Peter and the apostles? He gave them the knowledge of his death, burial, and resurrection in the gospel, and how that fulfilled the scriptures of the Old Testament, to carry out and give that knowledge to others of God's children so they knew what God had done for them. They were able to obey it and enter into his kingdom. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Having the knowledge of how God loved them and how his son died for them and how his son rose from the dead and how they would rise from the dead one day gave them the knowledge to have God's peace and enter into His kingdom. Now that's in those verses, but that's not the main thing I'm after in those verses. What's the main thing? Did Simon Peter here confess Jesus Christ before men? Yes, he did. He was there, and the Lord was there, and the rest of the apostles are there, and they're trying to answer these questions. Whom do men say that I am? Well, some say John, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah. Whom do you say that I am? Some of them probably doing some searching in their mind and heart. But Peter had the answer, and he was willing to say it publicly. Thou art the Christ. That means the promised Messiah, the anointed one for the salvation of God's people. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. Wow. Peter just confessed Jesus Christ before the rest of the apostles there and whoever else was there, if there was somebody else. He just confessed Jesus Christ before men. Did Jesus Christ confess him before the Father? Yes, he did. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. You're a blessed man. I confess before the listeners, you're blessed. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee. You didn't learn this from any human being. But my Father, which is in heaven. Right there before the rest of the apostles, Jesus Christ was saying, my Father taught something to Peter directly. Directly. Christ was saying this before the Father. Christ was saying this before the apostles. Just in fulfillment of what he says, whosoever shall confess me before men, I will confess them before my Father, which is in heaven. Now let's keep reading. Starting with verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Ouch. Ouch. All of a sudden, Peter is not confessing Jesus Christ before men. He's denying Jesus Christ before men. How? How did he do that? The Lord just gave them a teaching. He was teaching his disciples, this is what's coming up. We're going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer many things of the scribes and elders. I'll be killed. I'll be raised again the third day. He was teaching them the truth in advance for their comfort, for their strength, for their knowledge, so that they would know before it happened what was to be, what his mission was. And Peter decided to not deny himself, but to assert his own notions of right and wrong, courage and cowardice. Not so, Lord, this shall not be so unto thee. He just denied the Lord. He denied him before men. Right there, as the Lord was teaching them a great truth about what was to happen, Peter says, it's not going to happen. That's denying Christ before men. And did Jesus Christ deny him before the Father? He sure did. Get thee behind me, Satan. Does that mean Peter is headed for the lake of fire? Does that mean Peter's in hell today? No. But it means that Peter was shown at that time, and so were the other apostles that heard, and so in the witness of the Father, that Peter had just broken fellowship with his Lord, and the Lord was breaking fellowship with him about that statement. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know what Satan means? It means an adversary. Peter, as long as you're acting like an enemy, I'm an enemy. Because the Lord is the one who declares right and wrong. What is the truth? What is not the truth? And it's us to confess that He is not only Savior, He is Lord. He is the Lord. And what is the verse right after that? Our text. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. Who will come after Jesus Christ? Do you know that this verse is not even able to be fulfilled until somebody is born again? If someone's not a child of God, listen to what Jesus Christ says in John chapter 44. It's not only that they will not come to the Lord, they cannot come to the Lord. John 6, verse 44 says, no man... Let me read verse 43 too. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then in the same chapter, John 6, verse 65, Christ says, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. This verse that I've read as a text applies to God's children. They're the only ones that can come after the Lord, come unto the Lord. They're the only ones that can do that. Now, the teaching is to those who can, if they will. If any man will come after me. All right, God, by grace, has given you the ability so that you can come unto him. Now the question is, will you come after him? And if you will, this is what's needful. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, we can deny the Lord in multiple ways. In the book of Titus, the apostle there writes how people deny him by their works. We can deny him by the word, but here in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, it says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Brothers and sisters, let's not deny the Lord, either in asserting ourselves, or in unbelief, or in disobedient works. Let's not deny the Lord. Let's deny ourselves. Let's tell the truth about ourselves. Let's tell the truth about God. And let's tell the truth about the relationship between us. God is our Father. We are His children. God's the Redeemer. We are the redeemed. God is the Creator. We are the creation. To Him be all the glory. To Him be all the praise. Let's take up our cross daily and follow the Lord Jesus. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, dear Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace. There's so much that we don't understand, Lord. Thank you for the portion of understanding that we have. Help us, Lord, what we do see, what is clear. Help us, Lord, strengthen us to be obedient, so that in that obedience our eyes might be opened further. Open thou our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Dear God, thank you that thy Son kept all the law for us, that he has received the judgment for our sins in his own body as he was nailed to the tree. Help us to be faithful disciples, taking up our cross daily and following our Lord. Lord, we know that part of following him means to love one another. Help us to love our brothers and sisters, Lord. Love our neighbors even as ourselves. Dear God, bless each one that's gathered here. Bless each one that's watching. Oh, Lord, comfort those that are in grief at this time. And help us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.